the very latest from our local ag industry. The Farming Show with Dylan Honkoop is next on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM and KGMI.com.
Now you can mow, dig, grade, haul, and more with the perfect solution for your property, a Branson tractor. Save your back and your wallet with one of our compact but powerful tractors here at Farmers Equipment Company. Stop by and choose from our full line of Bransons to take on your toughest tasks. With tractors from 19 to 55 horsepower, we have a Branson compact or utility tractor that is perfect for you. Want to use a rotary cutter to tame that tall brush on your property? You can do that. What about snagging a scoop from that pile of gravel to maintain your driveway free of potholes? You can do that too. Branson's 6-year warranty, along with our factory-trained technicians, will make sure your new tractor is always running great. Get the tractor you want and the peace of mind you need at Farmers Equipment Company. To learn more, visit us online at farmersequip.com or stop by our locations in Linden or Burlington today. Farmers Equipment Company, serving the Pacific Northwest for over 86 years.
Attention homeowners, this is Brad, CEO from Barron Heating, AC Electrical and Plumbing. Our family has proudly served this community for over 50 years. I can assure you, we're more than just a business. We're a family you can rely on. As winter winds down, we're all looking forward to sunnier, warmer days. However, recent reports suggest our mild winter will lead to record high temperatures in the summer months ahead. Seasonal prediction models are confident in a transition from El Nino to La Nina in the years to come. So what does this mean for you? Winters will be colder and summers will be hotter. The National Weather Service predicts an up to 70% chance of above normal temps this summer in Washington. With this forecast, it's crucial to start preparing your home for the changing weather conditions. Investing in air conditioning now ensures your family is comfortable and safe. With AC, you can shut your doors and windows, blocking out previous year's heat and wildfire smoke. The good news? Barron has affordable options to add AC. Give us a call today.
Protecting your water. It's another opportunity to learn more about doing just that. And this applies to farmers, certainly, but it also applies to, well, pretty much any other water user. Of course, if you live in a city, the city itself, you know, the municipality may be taking care of that for you, you know, if you're hooked up to, you know, the city water main. But if you have a well of any kind, if you're a farmer that has a well, if you're a farmer that irrigates from a stream, you need to be thinking about water in Whatcom County right now. You know that if you've listened to this program. If you're just joining us, there is a very important situation coming up. And it's this court case that we've been talking about. A lawsuit, essentially, where the Washington State Department of Ecology says if you use water in Whatcom County, you need to prove in a court of law, in Whatcom County Superior Court, you will need to prove that you have the right to use that water. And there's, of course, plenty of details to that. So again, if you're just tuning into this and haven't heard about this, you need to hear about this. And this is what this Protecting Your Water event is about. Good morning to you. This is The Farming Show here on KGMI. I'm Dylan Honkoop. With Whatcom Family Farmers and Save Family Farming. Of course, we talked recently on this program about Losing the Farm, that documentary about a local farm, that a local seed potato farm that went out of business. This was one of, not the only, but one of the big reasons why this farm was unable to continue on was water and being able to protect their water, their access to water, and what that would mean in the legal aspects, the costs of doing it, what it would mean for their farm if they didn't have the water that they needed to grow their crops. So this is very important to the future of agriculture in Whatcom County. And as I'm saying, if you have a well and a home that relies on a well, you need to be thinking about this too. I mean, quote unquote, exempt wells aren't exempt from having to do something about this. So a lot of you should be perking up, your ears perking up at this, because this probably applies to you. What are you going to do about it? We have an event coming up on March 27th called Protecting Your Water. It's going to be at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds. We've had one of these prior. This was in the fall, and now we're having another one. There, you know, there is some new information out there, but there's a lot of folks who have been asking us, can you do another event? They maybe want to get some people there that weren't able to come last time. Honestly, we've heard from several people who have said, you know, we went to the last event, we learned a lot, but we want to hear it again. Because this is so important to the future of our family, of our farm, of our residents in a rural area, whatever it might be. And there's so many aspects to it, and you had such great experts there. And that's what will be happening at this event. Experts on water law, hydrology, etc., who can help teach you what you're going to have to do. People are going to be getting letters in the mail. Joining us right now with Associated Earth Sciences Incorporated, AESI, a principal hydrologist with that organization, Jay Chenault. He's been one of the experts on stage that we've had talking about this. He was a contributor on that Losing the Farm documentary talking about this water situation and the court case that's coming up. He's not going to be able to be in person on stage, but his colleague will be, and he is here with us this morning to talk about Why does someone need to come to this event? Why does someone need to get educated on this? You know, Jay, we can dig into the further detail, but just at the very highest level, what would you say to somebody on the street who would say, well, why do I need to come to an event and hear from a bunch of hydrogeologists and law, you know, water law experts in Whatcom County? Where would you steer them? What would you tell them?
Yeah, good morning, Dylan. Thanks for having me on. I do think this is an important event and an important opportunity for folks in Whatcom County who do use water to just get more information about this upcoming water rights adjudication. As you mentioned, you know, lots of folks across the county starting probably this summer are going to get certified letters, summons in the mail talking about the participation in this adjudication.
So that's a court summons.
That's right.
Just like you would be, like if you were sued for something else, is same kind of thing?
That's right. Yes. Okay. And so if you are a water user in Whatcom County, as you mentioned, that isn't served by a public water system, you will need to file a adjudication claim with the Department of Ecology in Whatcom County Superior Court in the next year, essentially. So it's really important. It's a really important step to protect your water, to understand what those summons letters are, what they're asking you to do, and what's required to respond to those to protect your current and future water use at your property. So this event will cover those details. So Bill Clark is a water rights attorney who will provide a general overview of what the adjudication is, why it's happening, what are the various legal statutes that kind of govern how an adjudication goes forward. And then water rights experts from a number of consulting firms, including the one I work for, AESI, will be providing, you know, information on, you know, what these claim forms look like, what information you're going to need to gather to file those claims, which is the first step in protecting your water. And they'll also be going over how to use the Ecology's online water rights database to research and find out what water rights you might have that apply to your property. And then finally, there'll be a presentation on, you know, how to document your historic water use, which will be kind of the important next step in this adjudication. Once you file claim to what water you're using, eventually, over the next few years, you'll have to provide evidence to the court to support that claim. So all three of those topics will be covered and really trying to set the stage for what the adjudication is, and then how do you participate? How do you find the information you need to fill out these forms correctly and prove your historic water use?
There are, oh boy, multiple aspects just of even the basic questions that all of us in Whatcom County essentially will have to answer. And again, we're talking with Jay Chenault right now. He's a principal and a hydrologist with Associated Earth Sciences, Inc., and he has been instrumental in helping guide folks in our community here as they begin to prepare for this water situation. I hope you out there listening are paying attention to the fact that you will have to protect your water. And that's what this is all about. That's the name of this event coming up on March 27th that we're giving you the advance heads up for. Make sure you plan to be there if you don't know what your plan is. Jay, real quick, what are the, you know, top handful of things, you know, four or five things that people need to know about their water right, their access, whatever? I mean, you're talking about some different things already. You're talking about historical use. That's one of them. You have to prove in this court case, you have to prove that this water right that you have of whatever size, shape, or form it is was being used correctly.
That's right. Yeah. So initially on these claim forms, there'll be essentially boxes to fill in that you, you know, estimate your current water use, you know, either of your home or of your farm. And then there's places to put your estimates of your historic, you know, water use as far back as you can remember, your highest historic water use. In terms of your instantaneous pumping rate or diversion rate out of a stream, the gallons per minute or cubic feet per second that you're using at any one time, and then the annual water use, now or in the past. And so a lot of those numbers aren't easy to come up with off the top of your head. And so that's why it's important to come to this event so you can learn, what typical water use is, how you can estimate water use, how you can find how much water you're allowed to use if you've got a water right as the legal basis of that water use. All of that information will be presented at this event, so you can learn where to find that information so you don't fill out the form incorrectly or don't know how to find the information.
Other than historic water use, what do I suppose another element would be, I need to know what my water right is, what if I have documents on that, or if someone somewhere has documents, right?
That's right. So lots of folks may have a file folder in their, file cabinet for when they originally purchased the property or were, inherited the property or, grandpa's farm or dad's farm that they passed on these documents to you. So you might have a folder that has some of this information in it, but the Department of Ecology maintains those records as well. And so you can find that information, and Ecology maintains an online system where you can go search and download those records. You can reach out to Ecology's field office in Bellingham and get the information directly from them that way. But that's another topic of this event on March 27th, is how to use Ecology's online system to find out what you have or what other avenues are available to research what water rights you have for your property.
You probably need to know and be able to produce some information about where you're getting your point of withdrawal, so to speak, too, about your well and things like that, right?
That's right. It's important to understand if you're using a well or if you're using, a direct surface water diversion, it's called. So a pump in the stream to irrigate out of, or whatever water use you have. So it's important to understand where that is, what it looks like. If you have a well on your property, it's important to understand, where it is. And if you've got a water well report from when the well was originally drilled, the driller is required to file a form with the Department of Ecology to document that well. If you have that, that's important to, understand you know, the location and the depth of that well and where your water is coming from. So if you're used to just turning on the tap in your house and not thinking about it beyond that, now is the time to start really understanding, you know, where your water is coming from and what is the legal basis of your water use, because all of those are going to be kind of required information for this adjudication.
This is The Farming Show on KGMI. I'm Dylan Honkoop with Whatcom Family Farmers. Our guest right now is Jay Chenault. He's a hydrologist with AESI, one of the experts that we have been looking to and leaning on quite a bit as this water rights adjudication court case, this lawsuit that so many people will be getting summons in the mail for here in a matter of months. One of the experts that we've been looking to are, how do we deal with this? You know, and the things that you're listing, Jay, are, I mean, that's daunting. It's overwhelming. I will say, because I have been in my work here and because I've been covering this on the show as well, I've been exposed to a lot of the blanks that need to be filled in, if you will. There's a lot of information that's going to be needed. And it was so overwhelming to me when I went to this event, and again, a previous version of it that we had this past fall, very well attended, I think we had 300 plus people there at the Northwest Washington Fair. And again, what we're talking about is another one of these events that's coming up in a week and a half or so, on March 27th. When I went to that event and listened to all the folks on stage talking it through, it was actually somewhat calming to me. It's like, okay, there are experts that can get me through, and there's a kind of a pattern or a process to go through with each one of these things, particularly things like estimating water use, which to me just sounded like, how would you ever even start? You know, potentially decades of information to be able to prove that there wasn't a time in the past where a water right wasn't fully used and therefore relinquished. There are ways of going about this. People have done this, know how to do this. And so for me, it was somewhat reassuring to hear from all you experts on stage to be like, okay, with the help of folks like yourself, I can do this. It's not going to be easy, but it is doable. I know for some other folks, though, it was pretty overwhelming because, you know, unlike myself, they hadn't necessarily been exposed to, wow, there's a lot of information I'm going to need to cough up. In your experience, what's the number one concern or struggle that people are facing right now that are coming to you saying, what are we supposed to be doing? Is it lack of information, lack of awareness of what even has to be done? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, it's a little of both. Most people who have been reaching out to us are really trying to get a baseline understanding of what they have in terms of water rights. You know, most of them are farmers who are irrigating, you know, some property. They understand that they probably have water rights, or they think they have water rights, but they're looking for some assistance to really understand their current water rights situation, and then understand if how they're currently operating their farm is consistent with, you know, the legal documents, the legal water rights that are, you know, authorizing them to use their water. So just trying to get help in aligning their current farming practices and water use with what is the legal basis of that water use. And then, you know, if there is some inconsistencies there, what can they do now to kind of get those things in line? I think that's probably the main thing. And then there's a lot of folks who, you know, are just, you know, looking for information on, you know, what is happening and, you know, how do they start preparing, and just some of those basics, which is what we're trying to cover, you know, with this event on March 27th. And I know, you know, Whatcom Family Farmers and the Ag Water Board are holding these events and reaching out to the farming community. Whatcom County is setting up a program to assist people as well. I think that kind of adjudication support system will be up and running you know, sometime in April or May is what I've heard. Okay. And I've just heard from Ecology yesterday that they are, you know, hiring people and setting up kind of an adjudication support group, an information group out of their Bellingham field office to help people with questions as well. So there's starting to become more and more avenues to get questions answered that we'll probably hear more about in the next few months.
And again, the event that we have coming up with Whatcom Family Farmers and the Ag Water Board, of course, the consortium of the Watershed Improvement Districts, the WIDs here locally, and others, with these experts from AESI, Associated Earth Sciences, where Jay is from, that we're talking with here, RH2 Engineering, Aspect Consulting, water rights attorney Bill Clark will be there, and we'll have some other folks speaking into this as well. It's coming up on March 27th. It's in the evening, and that's an important thing I wanted to mention before we ran out of time here. Last time we had it, it was in the afternoon, and that was hard for some people to get to that wanted to be there. So we're trying to have these events at different times when we have them. This one is from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So you're able to, you know, if you work the 9 to 5 or something along those lines, you can grab dinner and then come over to the event. We will have just, you know, coffee and light refreshments. It's not a dinner event or anything. It's an after dinner thing, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Farm Pavilion at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds, called Protecting Your Water. And these are the in the know folks that can walk you through step by step what you will need to do to make sure that you have water on the other side of this whole complicated court process called a water rights adjudication. Jay Chenault has been with us, and again, he was on stage last time, won't be able to be there this time, but his colleague from AESI will be there sharing information as well. Jay, thanks so much for your time this morning to check in with us and all of the work that you've been doing behind the scenes on this issue. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you, Dylan.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
What if something you had been told for years and years and assumed it to be true because you had heard it from multiple sources and it was just the agreed upon not? What if you found that was actually not true? I think we have these experiences in life. And now I'm going to take it a step further. What if a doctor diagnosed you with something? I don't know. For me, it would be diabetes. And that's what I have, type 1 diabetes, adult onset, which hasn't been a fun journey in the last few years for me. But what if that diagnosis, and I know it's not for me, but what if a diagnosis that the doctor gave you was the wrong diagnosis, a misdiagnosis, and let's say you're taking medication for something that you don't even have, it can end up causing more harm than good, right? Welcome to the Farming Show this morning. Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI. What in the world am I talking about? Well, we're going to transition this idea toward something that is very much a factor in the future of farming, and that is the future of fish. And as we've said many times in this program, fish need farms, farms need fish. We live in the same world. Lots of this has to do with farmland and streams and water quality and all these things that we talk about. But what if the thing that we've been told for many years is actually not correct or not correct anymore about salmon? What if there is a great misdiagnosis of what the real problem is with salmon? We know that salmon are struggling. Certain salmon are, but not all. And that's something that isn't talked about often. We've mentioned it here on this program. But there's one particular fish that we seem to be the most concerned about, and understandably so. It's often not talked about that other species other than Chinook salmon are not suffering the same way, not struggling to recover the same way. But what if the prescription, if you will, to recover Chinook salmon that are struggling has been wrong? Joining me right now is Gerald Barron with the same organization that I work for, Save Family Farming, and he has been deep into the research on this really for years now, but in a more concentrated sense in the last several months, digging into the science studies, digging into what do we really actually know? What is the latest on what's happening with salmon? Gerald, welcome to the program this morning. And
thank you, Dylan.
Yeah, you were the one that coined this term, the great misdiagnosis of salmon and a misdiagnosis of salmon recovery. Explain to someone who's saying, whoa, what are you talking about now? How is it that you know better? Well, that's not really the argument that you're making. Explain what the argument is.
Well, it really comes from the idea that those people who are advocating for Chinook recovery, and we'll talk about that in a bit, why it's Chinook recovery and not the other species, are actually doing more harm than good. And the reason they're doing more harm than good is because they are, by focusing on one particular thing that is not the real problem, they are taking attention away from the things that are the real problem and therefore preventing them from being dealt with. The analogy that I use, Dylan, you mentioned the diabetes diagnosis.
Yeah.
But the analogy that I use is if you got a bad stomach ache, and so you go to the doctor,
yeah,
and the doctor says, uh-huh, and he amputates your leg. The point there is that not only now do you still have a stomach ache, in other words, yeah, we still have a Chinook recovery problem, but a tremendous amount of damage has been done. In addition to not fixing the problem.
And I think that getting your leg amputated would probably actually make your stomach ache worse.
Yeah, well,
I'm thinking.
Certainly wouldn't help. So let's get to the real crux of it here.
Yeah.
As you said, salmon species are thriving. There's been many reports showing that Pacific salmon species are doing great. In fact, this year was a real crisis in the commercial fishing industry because of oversupply. That's true of basically all of these salmon species, except for Chinook. And why are Chinook uniquely suffering from this? Is it because of habitat? And that's been the problem, is because habitat is seen as the solution to Chinook recovery. And they don't say Chinook, they say salmon. Mm-hmm. Well, people need to understand, salmon don't need recovery. Chinook do. Chinook have been struggling, although the numbers are definitely on the increase now and doing better for reasons which we can explain. Mm-hmm. But the misdiagnosis is habitat. Now, habitat is very important for salmon and for Chinook. It's very important, but tremendous amounts of work has been done. $24 billion, for one thing, spent on fish passages through our dams. $24 billion, that's with a B. Mm-hmm. And hundreds of millions are spent all the time on improving habitat. We've got about 1,000 miples of stream riparian areas in Washington state that have been restored with trees and shrubs and all the things that are needed But these efforts, according to the Conservation Commission, have not resulted in an increase in salmon. So we have lots of examples of where habitat, it's critically important. We've done tremendous work in improving it, but we're not getting Chinook returns. Why? And the science shows there are two very clear reasons. One of them is ocean conditions. The warming of the ocean, particularly in a few years where we had what was called a blob. In the North Pacific, of higher temperatures. There were a few years, I think it was 2014 and 2019, where they were where it was particularly prevalent. And those have a tremendous effect, not on other species, but uniquely on Chinook, because their life cycle is very different. They're dependent upon food sources, and so that are affected by that. Sockeye, for example, are at absolutely record numbers, and they benefit from that, from those same conditions. So ocean warming is one big reason. The other is predation. Now, predation is a huge problem. This is, you know, it's rather difficult to deal with the ocean warming. Those are, you know, lots of conditions that are involving that. Right. And, you know, a lot of attention is being focused on climate change and things like that. But nothing is going to happen with that in the near term. Predation is something that we can definitely do something about.
Predation meaning other predators eating the salmon that we're trying to recover.
Yeah, it starts from the time that the salmon are born in the habitat in the upper reaches of rivers and streams, and the initial predators are birds. And a study shows that something like 30% of the smolts coming down the Columbia system are consumed by birds. But the real problem, and this is, I think, would be absolutely astonishing to a lot of people, the real problem are harbor seals. And specifically in the Salish Sea, what is called the Salish Sea now used to be called Northern Puget Sound, but basically from the Strait of Juan de Fuca to the Strait of Georgia. So our local waters. Now, consider this. A study was done led by a NOAA scientist that looked at 1975 to 2015. And they saw that about 27 million Chinook are consumed by harbor seals from Alaska to California, so that whole region. However, 86% of those are consumed in our local area alone. Hmm. We have over 10 times the number of harbor seals in the Salish Sea, the San Juan Islands area, and people who've been out there certainly have seen them. We have over 10 times what there was before the federal government passed the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act in the 1970s. And the problem, what makes that problem worse, is that killer whales, which have also about doubled in numbers in those 40 years, consume harbor seals routinely, except for the southern residents, the local pod in this area. They are, according to one of the leading marine scientists, called picky eaters, and they target Chinook. Now, the killer whales, of all the predators from California to Alaska, are the biggest consumers of what they call the Chinook biomass. But they target the biggest and fattest and best Chinook. It's the harbor seals that target the smolts, the young Chinook just emerging from the rivers. And in the Salish Sea alone, they consume about 24 million. That was in 2015. About 24 million Chinook smolts. Now, the problem is people are saying, oh, got to remove the dams, open up the habitat.
Right.
You got to.
Dams are an issue of fish habitat. And you're saying the misdiagnosis is.
Yeah. They're saying take out the dams because we need to open up the habitat above the river. And what this, what the science is saying, and many people who are involved in this, except those people, who the politicians are listening to, are saying you can remove the dams, but you're not going to get the Chinook back unless you deal with the real problems. That's what I mean about, remove the leg, cause some real damage, because removing the dams would cause unbelievable amounts of damage. So you could do that, but you're still going to have the stomach ache. You're not going to get the Chinook recovered. Take another example. Water rights adjudication in Whatcom County. Why is that necessary, they say? Oh, to protect the fish. It's for habitat. It has no impact on habitat. And even if it did, it would not recover the Chinook. because of these other conditions. Take another issue that's really been affecting farmers, the calls for massive buffers on all streams and ditches. These advocates who are behind this want to see 100-foot and larger buffers on all streams, rivers, and even man-made ditches, even though they have no connection to salmon. You could do that, and it would have virtually no impact on salmon recovery, Chinook recovery, because of ocean conditions. So what, you know, almost all the problems that farmers face in terms of environmental pressures have to do with recovery of Chinook based upon this misdiagnosis of habitat. And that's why it's so important, and that's why we're spending a lot of effort right now in informing the public. It's not about habitat. Yes, habitat is important. Water temperature is important. Clean water is important. But we've been doing those things and making great progress, and we're not getting the Chinook back. Why? Because it's not about the habitat. Now, one of the things, the problems that we face in this, Dylan, is that it's what I call the salmon recovery industrial complex. There are literally hundreds of people in our state, in this region, who are employed based upon this misdiagnosis. If it's understood that habitat is not the crucial issue, let's say we start focusing on controlling predation, which, by the way, Congress made some changes to that law in order to allow the sea lions that were consuming just a few in comparison salmon at the Bonneville Dam or the mouth of the Columbia, they were allowed to remove. If we were to focus on predation in the San Juan Islands and the Salish Sea, for example, all of those people who are currently employed and their jobs and careers dependent upon habitat as the solution would lose their jobs, because people would understand it's not about that. Now, again, I'm not saying that habitat isn't important. Let me repeat that. We know that habitat is important, but fixing habitat alone without addressing these other problems is not going to help recover Chinook. So that's what we're up against, is people are, their careers are, you know, wedded to this misdiagnosis.
And those people are the same people that we look to give the diagnosis, right? And so there's an inherent bias there towards one particular, so it's like going to Big Pharma and asking them to diagnose your, you know, medical malady. Of course they're going to give you, you know, a heavy duty prescription for some kind of drug maybe it's nutrition that you need to, you know, that's what a lot of people are finding in the health world. It's quite the parallel to what's happening here. Again, Gerald Barron with Save Family Farming is with us right now here on the Farming Show on KGMI. I am Dylan Honkoop, also with Save Family Farming, full disclosure, talking about this effort that we're trying to get the word out on. And this is not just based on our own information. This is basically a meta study or a meta analysis of other studies out there, more recent research on what's happening with Chinook salmon, why they're struggling, why they aren't, despite all this work that you're talking about that has been done, particularly with habitat, why that isn't bringing them back. And it makes sense. I mean, the way that I've heard it explained is, you know, habitat, it's like homes. It's a hospitable place for fish to live. And the numbers that I've seen, you know, even here in Whatcom County in the Nooksack Basin, right now there is more, even though, again, like you said, habitat isn't a bad thing, and you know, farmers continue to work on supporting projects to expand that. But from right now, there's more place for salmon to live than there are to live in that habitat. They're under capacity, depending on the reach and the stream and a lot of particulars. But by and large, there's a lot of extra habitat right now. Going with the analogy and understanding what habitat means, there's a plenty of hospitable place, but no fish to put in it. Maybe the problem is something different. And that's what you're saying, right? The studies are showing.
That's right. And let me give you one example of the science studies that are reflected. We've got a 40-page appendix to our, like, 10-page summary of what we found. But let me just give you one example. There's a research company out of Victoria or Vancouver, I can't remember, called Kintama Research. They're experts in this area. And they did a study to look at all the river systems that produce Chinook, that included those with dams and those without dams. So, for example, I think it's the Fraser River, big river system in Canada, but a lot of them going up the coast, Canada, I think into Alaska and things like that. And they looked at the Chinook numbers, what they call the adult return, and they compared it. And what they found is that the Snake River system was actually better than a lot of these river systems that don't have any human obstacles, including dams. So that, in this, those people were saying that only removing dams is going to allow Chinook to recover.
Yeah, by that logic, these other rivers should be doing amazingly well.
Well, if you want to follow the science on it, they should put dams on those rivers like they have in the Snake River. Because, they're not doing as well.
Yeah.
So the problem is obviously not the dams, nor is it buffers, nor is it any of these other things. Now, go back to that analogy a minute and the what I'm calling the salmon recovery industrial complex. It's like if you went to that doctor and with a stomach ache and he removed your leg and you ask him, well, why did you do that? He said, well, that's because it's the only way I make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And the problem with that is they are the experts, The doctor has a doctor behind his name. So the salmon recovery experts who are promoting habitat, who are embedded with this, they're the only ones that the media is listening to. If you read the Seattle Times, there's been numerous stories about that. A recent one about the Swinomish suing the EPA over water temperature, for example. And the Seattle Times has only listened to these salmon recovery experts who are part of this industrial complex that get their money from this misdiagnosis. We have pointed out to the Seattle Times editors and reporters that there's another story here that they need to cover. They refuse to do that. It's no wonder that people don't trust the media anymore when they show this kind of bias.
Well, it's become a mantra that is assumed to be true. And back to where we started with this conversation, what if that thing that you've been told to be true, you've assumed to be true for so long, you discover isn't true? That's a hard thing for humans to deal with when they're very tied up, connected to, caught up in a certain mantra or belief. And in this case, it sounds like an assumption, the way that a lot of people view this and talk about this and report on this, people become married to that. And it's hard to shake that belief or view.
Absolutely. And it's very frustrating because it looks more and more like those people who are crying most loudly about salmon recovery or Chinook recovery actually don't really want to see it happen because they get too many benefits in terms of money, political power, clout, things like that for there being a problem. It's why they continue talking about salmon having a huge problem when it's, specific to that species.
Yeah.
And it's why they don't talk about it. They know the predation studies. I mean, I've talked to some of the people within this industrial complex. They're very angry about what we're putting out because they know it's the truth and they know it will undermine their basic story. They know the facts, but it's, they have a reason for not promoting and not publicizing the things that are really causing the problem.
It's fascinating to see what's really going on with this, and it's not what we've been led to believe. Gerald Barron with Save Family Farming with us on the Farming Show this morning. If you want to learn more about this, read Gerald's research on this and the whole appendix, which links to a ton of different science studies and other reporting on these things that we're talking about here. You go to savefamilyfarming.org/misdiagnosis, or right on the homepage at savefamilyfarming.org, you scroll down and you can see a headline on one of the stories that you can click to: Is Chinook Recovery Harmed by a Great Misdiagnosis? So again, savefamilyfarming.org/misdiagnosis. Go check it out. Read up for yourself what's really going on here. and begin to challenge the mantra, challenge the narrative that's out there, because it's not as most people have been led to believe. Gerald, we appreciate you taking the time on this Saturday morning to chat with us. And more importantly, we appreciate all the research that you've done, all the time that you've put into really digging up the truth on this.
Thank you, Dylan. And one thing you might point out is that there's downloadable versions of that, so people can download them and forward them to everybody that they know or are concerned about Chinook recovery.